Okay, everybody, I'm just started the recording, just to let you all know that we're going to record the meeting, and we haven't started yet, so, but I'm going to call the meeting officially to order, and it's 3:12 p.m. on July 16th, 2020. Okay, and let me share my screen, the agenda. Okay, and let me make it bigger. All right. I think this today will be a short meeting. I don't have a lot.
Rachel?
Yes, ma'am.
Ken forgot about the meeting. He thought it was on Thursday. I said, today's Thursday. So I'm gonna send him the link via WhatsApp so he can get on because he's in Dedado and away from his computer.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah. The meeting is Thursday, right?
Yes, me.
Okay. Okay.
Can you all see the agenda? It says it's paused. Yes. Okay, all right. Okay, and did everybody get a copy of the minutes from last time?
Doc, I'm still working on the last one. That was the last one we had in April.
Okay. All right. So if it's okay, maybe we can, we'll approve the minutes for the April meeting at the next meeting. So because it was a lot of stuff happening.
Yes.
So just for clarification, the rules and regs that you sent, that hasn't been fine-tuned, that's the official, unofficial copy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Correct.
Okay, just checking because I'm a little confused here, but okay, thank you.
So did you get a hold of
yes, he should be coming in shortly.
I'm letting him in now.
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, Ken. Welcome. We'll go ahead and do the report from the chair. So my report is that we worked really hard on the minutes, I'm sorry, on the rules and regs during the COVID time. And I just want to thank everybody for your hard work on that because we were recessing the May meeting for several weeks to get it done. And so I really appreciate it. And we sent the rules and regs, the ones we drafted, to our UOG legal counsel, Mr. Anthony Camacho. And it took him some time, but he went through and changed some of the terminology to make it more legal. And he just sent that his revision to me a few days ago, which I forwarded on to all of the committee members. And I kind of read through there, and there's still some typos and some misspelling. So we're going to go through and correct the typo errors and the misspellings and stuff. That's not what we're going to send to for public hearing, but I did send it to you, and you know there were some things that he did change, like some of the specifics. We were real specific on some things, like including things that could be included in admin costs, like cell phone, and he kind of took that out. I don't know what his reasonings are, but from a legal standpoint, I guess he felt that was better. So there were a few changes, but he made it so that he's comfortable with it from a legal standpoint. So,
Rachel, so in removing items such as that, does that mean they still have the option to use it as part of administrative costs, or does that mean because it's not specified they can't use it? Or would that be the discretion of the council?
I think that's the discretion of the council. I need to go back and read through what he said, just to make sure. I think it would be good if we all read through it one more time before we sent it out for public hearing.
I was waiting for clean coffee because I got a headache. There was just a lot of corrections.
Business, but I just wanted to say thank you for that. And then other part B, change in personnel. So during our shutdown, when we were all working from home, our accounting technician, you know, we had put out the search and we thought Ed was going to apply for it. He ended up resigning. I guess he was having some personal issues. So anyways, he's gone. And so Remlin's had to kind of pick up the pieces while we're waiting for our new accounting position. We did the search. We did the interviews. And I believe the search committee chose a candidate. And that person, when is that person going to be onboarding?
Hopefully by the first week of August.
Okay.
All right. It's now up. I mean, the memo has already went up to first signatures.
Okay. Yeah. So it's going to be a new accountant person, but we do have somebody. And so that's a change. And then our financial report, May was the one for May 2020 is on the website. And so you can download it there. We've been receiving our allotments from GovGuam, which is $83,333 a month. So as of May, we're getting our allotments. And if you look at what the available balance is after, you know, everything that's been allocated or obligated for the different, Guam Cancer Care, EM Calvo, American Cancer Society, AZUDA. Basically, the unspent funds or unobligated is only $650,000. So we really spent a lot of them. Well, we haven't spent it yet, but we've obligated quite a bit. We've used up the funding. So that's just something that we'll have to consider, too.
Would that cover your personnel?
Our personnel are covered, and we only have a few months left of the fiscal year, but for next fiscal year, if we only get $1 million, which was what the governor had proposed, then we're in serious trouble, because we've got several organizations we gave out almost $3 million for this fiscal year. And I've already been approached. I've been emailed by GMH. They want to submit. They're asking me, when are we going to post the call for proposals for this fiscal year 2021, because they're going to apply. And so if we get the current awardees applying plus other agencies, I mean, $1 million is not enough. It's not enough, and we don't know what we're going to get, what the legislature is going to propose. So I don't know. It could be lean times for several organizations if we don't get if we don't get more. If we don't get at least $3 or $4 million, it'll be tough. So that's my report.
Do we go before the legislature to talk about appropriations?
We can, but we don't even know what the budget is going to be yet. I think we kind of need to know what the governor proposed back in January or February, but we don't know yet. I don't know yet if the legislature has come out yet with anything, and when the budget hearing is going to be regarding at least Guam Cancer Trust Fund's portion of the budget for FY 2020.
Will we be allowed to go before the legislature, or is it only UOG? Because it's in the past, it's always been just UOG administration that's done the bidding for GCTF, not us.
I think we can. I think we can and we should.
Okay. Just asking because I think we haven't done it. We've done so. It's been UOG administration. And you.
Yeah, but I think that it would, I think we should. I think we should ask, and if they say no, then okay, but we should try. And I think we should also get our, our awardees, like, you know, Guam Cancer Care, EM Calvo, all of those organizations, let them know and let them make a statement, because if we only get $1 million, then, you know, that's less than what Guam Cancer Care alone gets. And they're typically the most vocal. So it's going to be.
If I could make a suggestion, I think we should plan on doing a presentation. I like the idea of getting those organizations in. I'm gonna, if someone could send me an email, because I'm in the parking lot in Dedido, and I'll send off the survey that Judah did in 2015. You remember that, Kathy? That survey we did that showed chronic disease rates increasing, you know, at alarming rates, and we can use that as the basis. Then if we look at our enabling legislation, look at what the funding set asides
but
were.
Can just bear in mind that although we talk about chronic disease, you have to limit it to cancer only.
I understand that, but it's all related, so we can take advantage of that. I mean, it is cancer, and part of that presentation focused on cancers, and the cancer was the fastest growing one, with diabetes being number two.
Yeah,
I'll resend it to everybody.
Okay, that would be great. Thanks, Ken. All right, well, if we need more discussion, we'll put it either in the. We can do open discussion. Let's go ahead and move on to report from the program manager, Rema.
Okay. Hi, everybody. Okay. So for Edward M. Calvo, they're up to date with their invoices, and they have been paid out up to May already. And then for American Cancer Society, they have submitted their January to April 2020 invoices. And they're just receiving one more last check from us from the 2019. And then for Azuda Foundation, they received their 20% first increment check on May. And then for Guam Cancer Care, they received both their direct services and education contract on March. And as for Catholic Social Services, this is for 2019. They submitted a no-cost extension letter, which was approved. And they have submitted just last month their April to September 2019 invoices. And the last one is the U54 capacity building clinical trial. Dr. Joy Mendez, she has submitted her 2019 invoice.
Great. And can I ask a question for the U54
clinical trials?
Are they almost done? What do they still need to do to finish up their?
I know we approved their no cost as well, but I'm gonna double check. The last one was in Ebb's report, so I'll check on that one on how many more is left, because it's not much anymore, Dr. Rachel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Great. Thanks. Any questions for Rem on her report? Okay, if not, then we can move on to the old business. Final approved. So again, talking about the rules and regs, we just need to probably go through. I'm going to have Remlin go through and correct the typos and the spelling and stuff, and within the next week, and have her send it out to us again so we can just read through it. It's a headache. So without all the track changes, we'll get rid of the track changes. So we can read through it again and make sure we understand it and approve it. And I think, you know, and I'm not sure because I've never done this before, but I think if we're going to submit the rules and regs, a revision to be approved in the public hearing and then by the legislature, I think we have to do like a clean copy and then a copy that is shows the changes from the original to the new. Is that correct?
That's my understanding of it, because in the hearings that I've been in where they've made changes, I'm thinking specifically of land trust and the veterans veterans office. Was it that? Well, anyway, two different organizations. We had the old and we had the new, and the old was redlined.
Yeah.
You know, so that you could see the old with the changes in it. Then we had a clean copy with all changes in.
Okay. Yeah, I think, Rem, you'll have to do that. And that'll be a task because there was a lot of changes. And yeah. So we'll do that. We'll work on that, and we'll get a clean copy out. I sent out the copy that Anthony Camacho had sent, and I was reading through, going, "Oh boy, there's a lot of errors." So I started correcting it, and I thought, you know, we'll need to send that out again, and we'll do that. And then the other thing too is, there was a section that's now section 3.C2A, and it was in regards to the investment of 20% of the Guam Cancer Trust Fund money that the university receives and putting it in an investment policy. And I think we all talked within ourselves that we would like to get rid of that, but it's not within our power to do it. It needs to be changed by the legislature. And what is your take on that? Or if we change it in the rules and regs, does that change it? I'm not really sure.
If it's in the law, then it has to be changed at the legislature.
Okay. So we need to. Yeah, so if that's the case, then we need to ask one of the senators, maybe Senator Therese, since she's the chair.
I believe it's in the law. I also know, I know Natasha's on this call with us, but I know Senator Therese was very adamant in ensuring that that investment account remain.
Yeah, so that's well, one of, yeah.
Let me have a talk with her about it, because the intent of this fund is to provide monies for the benefit of the people, taking one-fifth of our revenue, setting it aside, doesn't provide benefit for the revenue. It provides long-term benefit for administrational operations, but that's not the intent of the law based on my reading of it.
Yeah,
I think the intention that Speaker had when he put that in there was really to address situations as in where we are at, where the funds are so limited because of the way the economy is, that we would have cushion money to be able to provide for our grant funding. I think that, at least when I had a conversation with him, that was his intention, was that we were to use the investment money as a cushion money if we ever fell into hard time.
Yeah.
But it was never invested is the problem.
Well, and it's because we're not allowed to invest it.
Correct.
And that was what former Speaker BJ Cruz, he was saying, you can't invest that money, and why are you saving it? You need to spend it. So, you know, we're getting mixed
signals.
And it's very confusing. So yeah, Ken, if you'd be willing to speak with Senator Terlahi about this, that would be.
I would be, because, you know, we know what the need is today. We don't know what the need is tomorrow. And this fund is an action fund. It's to deal with the problems of today.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, on the basis of what they're saying, we won't invest any, we won't provide any benefit. We'll have plenty of money later on, but for what purpose?
Right. Yeah.
And so the thing about this is cancer is a progressive and an aggressive disease. People can't wait.
Correct. Go ahead, Yvette.
No, I was just going to ask, so are we saying that we're all in agreement that we don't want the 20% invested, or are we going, or is that still open to debate?
I mean, my preference is not to have a 20% investment and just have the money available to disperse to applicants.
That is mine also, so that's two. Kathy?
So in my mind, I think there are pros and cons, but I'm going to go back to what Kathy was mentioning earlier about the intent. And I think to add on to that, I think the idea was that if the law works as it was intended to, where we start to see a decline in smoking and therefore a decline in the revenues, that then the money generated for the trust fund will also decline. And I thought that was supposed to be, as Kathy mentioned, the cushion to help continue support some of the nonprofit organizations to continue the work. So just something to think about as we decide whether we really want to take it completely out or we want to reduce the 20% to a small.
My position is that I'm not ready to have it removed. I know that part of our challenge was the fact that the law wasn't very clear. We weren't able to invest. And I know that we had way back 2 years ago said we were going to go back to the legislature and speak to them about fixing that glitch in the law so that we're able to invest it. I understand that the money is needed right now for the patients. I get that completely. However, I'm also concerned as to when situations arise, such as where even without the decline of smoking, and even when we raise the tobacco tax and the smoking rates have declined, we're still not getting the amount of money we need. We're supposed to be getting 15%, and the most we ever got was 12% back in 2012. So technically we're not getting the amount of money we need, but I still think it's important to not jump the gun and remove the investment portion at this time. I think we need to reassess this. I'm also at a position where our nonprofit organizations that come and get funding for us are really relying on us for their sustainability, which is not the intention of this trust fund. And I don't want them to continue that. They need to be able to be self-sustaining, to be independent of the Cancer Trust Fund. But I've only been on the council for a couple of years, but you know, my impression is that without us, they're not going to be able to sustain. And our intention is not really to sustain an organization. We're supposed to augment their funding and their revenues. So I that's my point where I say, I get it that we need to give them the fund or have it available for them now. But we are having funds available. We are giving funds out. We are assisting our community. But I want to see this Cancer Trust Fund be able to last much longer and to be able to continue, even in difficult times like now. So I don't know if that makes sense, but I'm not ready to remove it completely, even with a conversation with the, you know, I had a conversation with Senator Therese, and I understood where her position of why she was very adamant. And in truth, I was more inclined to not invest it, but I understood some of her point, you know, so she opened my eyes to it. I did a little bit more research and talked to a few other people, and that was why I've decided I'm not ready to do this. But that's my position.
Well, and you know, Kathy, the reality is if we had gotten our 15%, or gosh, even if we'd gotten 12% every year, right now we would have a cushion. We would have a nice cushion, and it wouldn't matter if we only got $1 million this next year.
Correct.
So, I mean, if that's the will of the group, then for now we leave it in. And, you know, I think this issue is not something that's going to be solved anytime soon anyway. So I guess, Ken, you can still talk to her about it.
Can I also clarify one point? My position on the council is a representative of the Cancer Coalition. So what I've just shared with you was my personal thoughts. I need to go back to the coalition and see where they stand. If they feel that the investment fund should remain or should be removed, it is not my position. It's got to be the position of the coalition.
Okay. Well, one thing, our advantage is time, because the legislature is wrapped around the axle right now on the response to COVID and the 2021 budget. So this is not going to be a high priority for the next couple of months with the legislature. So this isn't something we have to act on today, but we can have the conversations, you know, so that, you know, Kathy brings up a point. She needs to come talk with other people. I can talk with Therese to get see, you know, what her box is, what the limits of her box are, because it doesn't do us any good to set aside 20% if we can't invest it. And then when we look at how other organizations are going to fare in their fundraising right now at a time like this, when everybody's pulling back in and saving money, you know, that's something else we need to take into consideration, and we should not be the sole source of funds for any organization, because that leads to failure. It really does.
Yeah, you're right. I agree. All right, so let's just go ahead and proceed with, as far as the rules and regs, you know, we'll send out a clean copy, and at the next meeting, we'll discuss it after we can read it. And I think the goal for us is if we can have the rules and regs, do our public hearing maybe in September, or I don't know if that's a realistic, we were thinking August, but maybe August is too soon, but September or so. And
I highly doubt they'll address it in August, because it's budget time.
Yeah.
You know? So I highly doubt. But I have a question. The public hearing, is it going to be called by Amanda Shelton because she oversees UOG?
No.
Or is it going to be called by Senator Therese's health? Or would it be called by Jill St. Augustine as, you know, budget and...
So when I talked to Anthony Camacho, he said that the public hearing, it doesn't have to be called by anybody in the legislature. It can be done just the way UOG does a public hearing regarding any change of the Board of Regents policy. So we can do a public hearing sponsored by UOG. We invite all the senators. We invite the community. We do a public hearing and invite comment. And then this is what Anthony explained. We take the comments, we incorporate them into the rules and regs, or if there are certain recommendations that we don't want, we provide justification of, well, no, we're not going to do this because of that. And then once you know, once we're done, then we can take that document and send it to the legislature. So the public
hearing just checking, because the very first draft that was sent in, that public hearing was called by the legislature. So I just wanted to verify it was them that called the public hearing.
What I can do is I can ask our attorney just to confirm, but this is what he said. He said that no, it doesn't have to be called by the legislature. But of course, we would invite all of the senators to participate. It's, you know, that's what he says. So I don't know, maybe Natasha, if you can find out from your senator if that is in fact true, just to make sure we don't make any mistakes. And he's, so that's, anyways, but whether we have to go through the legislature or not, we should just keep working on this so that it's ready when we do a public hearing, whether it's, we're going to sponsor it through UOG or send it to the legislature. Either way, we're ready to go. So we'll go ahead and get the copy cleaned up and sent out. It would be nice if we could have a public hearing, say September or October, I don't know, and just get it out of the way and get it done. That'd be really nice. That'd be quite an accomplishment. So, but we'll find out. We'll see if we can find out for sure.
Yeah, just send us an email on that.
Okay.
After you talk with Anthony. Because my understanding is that because we're a boarded commission, we're a standalone entity, we could hold our own public hearings. And that's what all the autonomous agencies do. And that's what, you know, like the Arts Council under CAHA does, and yeah, other organizations, they hold their own hearings.
Yeah, that's, and that's, I think, and that's what Anthony Camacho said, is that we can do our own hearing. And even if we do hold a public hearing, and if the senators say, hey, you're not supposed to do that, if they make us do another public hearing, we could do that too. But I'm pretty sure, and Anthony is the liaison with the legislature, so I'm pretty sure that his advice is sound, and we can hold our own public hearing.
Yeah, there's a section in Guam Code Annotated called the Open Government Law that describes how boards, commissions, agencies, and autonomous agencies are to hold public hearings. So as long as we follow that with our attorney's advice, of course, we should be good. We can pick our time.
Yeah, and Anthony said, oh, this is actually a good time this fall because, you know, right now, since everything's Zoom, you're actually not going to get a lot. You probably won't get a lot of the public to participate. You really will probably just get the senators who are really interested in this. And so, I mean, look at our meetings. It's just us and Natasha.
I just want to let you know I'm laughing over here.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay, so anything else on the old business before we move to, oh, well, hello, sorry. We kind of moved to new business with the rules, the public hearing. But anything else in old business before I move on?
No.
Okay, so we were going to do a solicitation for the new grant year, FY 2021, because according to our new rules and regs, we said we would announce it, and our deadline would be September 1st. We don't technically have to do that because we're still under the old. But we can, Remelin's ready. She has the advertisement ready to go to advertise in the PDN once a week for the next 3 weeks. The only thing is we do not know how much funding we're gonna get. So I don't know.
Well, the way the ANA does it, they solicit proposals, and in their solicitation, it says there's a line in it that goes to the effect that proposals will be funded until available funding runs out. It's wording to the effect that, yes, we're going to solicit all these proposals, and we're going to fund them based on scoring until funding runs out.
And so basically, Rachel, that's kind of how we've done it. We've sent out the requests for grant funding applications, and just because they're asking for $500,000 doesn't mean they're going to get it. It's based on right. our scoring and everything. So I don't see why we can't send it out. We're just not committing to anything. Yeah. And we've never committed to anything.
Yeah. Well, you know, and what we can do, if you think about it, all of our current awardees, you know, for 2020, especially like Guam Cancer Care, they didn't start till March. And then the rest of them started January, February. So really, they won't need funding until January, February, March. So maybe this year for FY 2021, especially since it looks like we're going to get less, we just give funding, you know, so instead of, we'll tell Guam Cancer Care, hey, don't ask for $1 million for 1 year, ask for $500,000 that will get you from your current contract until the end of fiscal year, because we are going to get everybody back lined up again with the fiscal year October 1 through September 30. So that could be a way of, you know, it lessens our financial burden, but then we just got to hope that, you know, next year for FY 2022, we get a good allotment. I don't know. It just kind of all depends on how much money we get for 2021. But anyways, some ideas, we'll just have to see what we get. But so you're all in agreement that we'll go ahead and put out the solicitation. I mean, we can put it out next week and solicit applications, proposals, and with the deadline of September 1.
I think it's a good idea. I mean, this is the direction we're heading. It doesn't hurt to start training the community that this is how the fund operates now.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do it then.
I'm in agreement.
Yeah. All right.
Sounds good.
Okay. So on to open discussion. That's all I had for the agenda. Is there anything else that anybody would like to share or ask or bring up for discussion?
The silence deafening.
I have a question. Once the rules and regs are cleaned up and we have a clean copy and we've actually gone through it one more time and I guess approved it, is that when it's ready to be disseminated to others?
Yeah.
Because I'd like to share it with our steering committee, but I didn't want to share this yet.
I don't really have a problem sharing what we have as long as we just say draft. Yeah. You know?
I'd like to have it cleaned up first before I share it with them.
It would be better if it's cleaned up. So it's not a top secret document. It's public document. So, but yeah, let's clean it up first so that it's not, you know, I was reading through, I'm like, Anthony, spelled words. So I'm sure he would be grateful to not have those, you know, typos. So yeah, we'll as soon as we get it cleaned up, and we'll make sure we put draft, the date of the draft, and it's going to be a public document. So I, you know, get people thinking about it and discussing it. That's fine. Yeah. Disseminate it.
Yeah, it's only going to take a few days to get it cleaned up, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Why don't we just recess this meeting, and then after the draft is cleaned up and then we've all had a day or two to review it, then just have a quick quick meeting on it, you know. That way we don't have to go through the whole 5-day notice process and everything.
Okay. Do you want to do, is everybody, Yvette and Kathy, are you open to that?
I'm good.
Yes.
Okay.
Rachel, I did.
Oh,
I do have one more comment. I know we decided that we were going to discuss this further. This is the investment. So I just wanted to comment or suggest that as we continue to think about it, because it does say that the investment will follow whatever the UOG Board of Regents policies are. So if there's already like an investment model that's in place, if somewhere at UOG, if that could be with us so we can have an idea of what that looks like and how much money is generated, I guess, from that investment.
Yeah.
I personally don't know. I don't really understand how that works. And if we can put that into some kind of context, I think it'll help me better understand how this can benefit us moving forward.
Yeah, and actually, Francis Dinelli and Ebb were working on the policy, and I remember seeing a draft of it, and Francis kind of was saying, I don't know what to do with this because, she had some concerns, but I can get that. Well, just ask Francis, or I might even have it somewhere in my old emails from Francis. But yeah, and I'll send it to you all. So let me just write that down to investment policy. Okay, so when would we like to meet again to recess our meeting until, say, 23rd or the 30th of July?
August, do you mean?
Well, if we recess so that we can...
For the clean version of the rules and regs? Clean
version? Maybe the 30th?
30th is fine for me.
Okay.
I'm good with the 30th.
Okay.
3 p.m.?
Yeah, 3 p.m.
Okay.
I'll make an effort to keep track of what day it is.
Ken, it's on Thursday, just for your information.
Okay,
so we'll meet the 30th, and it shouldn't take too long. Well, I shouldn't say, but we'll keep it to an hour. We'll keep it. All right. And then for our next regular meeting, do we want to meet on August 13th for a regular monthly meeting?
Fine with me.
Okay.
I'm sorry, August what?
August
20? You're breaking up.
1-3-13?
Is that okay?
I'm sorry. I didn't get the date. You're coming in very static.
13th. 1-3. Yeah, 1 month, 4 weeks from today.
But isn't our meetings on the third Thursday of every month?
Oh, yes, you're right. You're right. So the 20th. Sorry about that. Let's do it on the 20th. Okay, so the 20th, August 20th, which is the third Thursday of the month.
Okay. And at 3 o'clock, right?
Okay, anything else? I think, Yvette, did you have something else?
No.
Okay. Alrighty, well, that's it. Thank you very much. So we'll reconvene in 2 weeks on the 30th to finish discussion of the rules and regs, the clean copy of the rules and regs.
Thank you. Thank you, Remelin, for you. Everything.
You're welcome.
And thank you, Kathy, for reminding me.
And see, our meeting was less than an hour.
Okay.
Productive. Thank you. Stay safe, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.